Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff shares his message, Our Strong God, from the series Summer in the Psalms, helping you recognize who your strong God is so you can receive what the Lord has for you. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
As we continue our series in the Psalms, we're going to talk today about our strong God. And it's one thing to know that God is strong, and it's another thing to experience the strength of our God. About 20 years ago, I taught at a camp up in Superior National Forest in literally the middle of nowhere. And I was there all summer long. And because I'm not an outdoorsman, I'm a little bit fearful of wildlife. And up there were bear and elk and wolves. And I saw them and all this kind of stuff. And because I lived down by the lake, when this 19-year-old kid rolled into camp that was going to be our maintenance guy, I invited him to come stay in my cabin. And the reason I invited him to stay in my cabin is because I didn't want to walk by myself at night. He thought it was because I was going to mentor him. I made up an excuse. I'm like, hey, why don't you come down? We'll hang out this summer. So he moved in with me and we were there. But every week this camp would go from Monday all the way through Saturday. And on Sunday, we were there by ourselves. And Sunday was laundry day. So it was Sunday. I was carrying all my clothes up to the main cabin where I could put our laundry. And I'll never forget walking up that pathway. Never have I been so scared in my whole life. Because I heard something. To this day, I don't know what it was. I think it was a bear. I heard something rustle in the woods. And it sounded to me, in my mind's eye, that a bear had turned its head and was staring right at me. It wasn't one of those moments I paused very long and said, I wonder what that is. It was an immediate drop of my laundry basket and a dead sprint as fast as I could up the quarter mile path to the place where the cabin was. And when I ran in there, I noticed Kyle. And Kyle was the forest ranger. And I ran in and saw him there. And I yelled, I'm like, Kyle, there's a bear out there. There's a bear. Get your gun and go kill it. That's what I yelled. And he started laughing. He's like, they won't hurt you unless you hurt them. I'm like, dude, I am never leaving this thing until you go out and kill that bear. Well, it wasn't 5 minutes later and the other door of the cabin opened and Tim, this young guy that was 19, he ran in the other side and all he yelled was, Kyle, there's a bear out there. Get your gun. And I said, you saw it too? He's like, no, I didn't see it. He goes, I heard it. I'm like, Kyle, I told you. I'm like, so you ran up here? He goes, no, dude. He goes, I ran back to my car and drove 2 miles around. There's no way I'm walking up that path ever again. And I said this. I said, so you're scared here? He goes, yeah. He goes, the only reason I'm living with you is so we don't have to walk through the dark alone. I said, all right. So depending upon who we walk with makes a difference in our lives. And some of us, while we will admit that the Lord is powerful, while we'll admit the Lord is strong, we live in fear. We live not realizing that the Lord walks with us. Because things happen in our lives sometimes where even though we know God is strong and even though we know God is good, that we experience things where all of a sudden we begin to live in fear, thinking we have to handle it ourselves. And if you're living in your life in fear right now in any area, I got a word for you this morning from the Lord. If you open up your Bibles to Psalm chapter 27, personally one of my favorite Psalms, David is going to talk about our strong God. And what we want to highlight are four different things that David tells us, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that the Lord provides. So that when we're living in fear, we can recognize who our strong God is and receive from the Lord what he has for us. Notice in Psalm 27 how David starts. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be, see that word there? Confident. Our strong God provides confidence. Confidence. That's the first thing that he provides. I mean, when we look into the face of fear, what we want more than anything else is confidence to know that somebody else has it. David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Salvation is, he's my deliverer. He's delivered me from all sin, but he's also the light. I mean, all throughout the Bible, God is referred to as light, and in him, there is no darkness at all. In the first chapter of John, chapter 1 and verse 4, talking about Jesus, it said, in him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. It's the life. Why does David have confidence in the Lord? Because the Lord is his life. The Lord has brought him from death to life. And so David asked the question, whom shall I fear? If the Lord is able to forgive all my sins, and the Lord is able to rescue me from everything, and the Lord is able to deliver me from hell, who shall I fear? The answer is no one. The answer is no thing. The answer is nobody. I don't fear anything, he says. He says, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. I mean, that's where you really see this life. I mean, in poetry, this parallelism plays out. Light and salvation is the same as life. Now, what's this stronghold? What's this defense? Picture this. Picture if you're a farmer or you're working out in the field as a shepherd, and you spot a mountain lion, and that mountain lion begins to pursue you. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Picture this big stronghold, this fortress, this tower in the middle of the field. And you're that shepherd or you're that farmer and you're going to run because you're no match for mountain lions. But you get inside that tower, you're safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord, his reputation is safety. His reputation is protection. That's who our Lord is. David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord's the protector, the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid of? The answer is, I don't live in fear because I have confidence that the Lord is who he says he is. And David knows that the Lord walks with him. And when you know that you're walking with someone that's bigger than you, it makes a difference in your life. I remember being a freshman at the University of Illinois, and I remember what it was like to be a freshman on a college campus, and you're trying to figure out life, and you know, you're walking around different places. You have to know something about me. When I was in college, I was the smallest guy I hung out with by far. I mean, I was 6 foot, 200 pounds. I might be like, maybe I weigh a little more than that now, but I was 6 foot, 200 pounds. And most of my friends were like 6'4", 240, or all the way up to like 6'8", 300, and they liked me, and they hung out with me. So I can tell you, it didn't matter what time of day we hung out, and it really didn't matter where we were, and it really didn't matter who said anything about me. I never felt fearful as a freshman in college, right? Because of who I walked with. Let me tell you something about our God. Let me tell you about something he's like. He created the heavens and the earth. He holds the stars in place. He's named every one of them. He's created all of the galaxies. He has and holds all power. There is no one but him, and he says, I walk with you. And everywhere you go, there I am. And you can have total confidence. It's what David is talking about. No matter what comes my way, I am totally confident, not in me, but I'm totally confident in the Lord. And as a king, he spells out what could happen to him. He says, when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, he says, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. When people come against me as the king, I'm not worried because God's with me. They're the ones that are going to stumble and fall. He says, though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. What's a king most afraid of? A king's most afraid of an army coming against him. King's most afraid of somebody wanting to take his own life. And David's like, what would I worry about? I'm confident in this, that God loves me, that he has my back. And even when people come against me because I belong to the Lord, they're the ones that are going to stumble and fall. I have total confidence in who I am in the Lord. Our strong God provides confidence. If you really knew who you are in the Lord, if you really knew how much he loved you, you'd have confidence too. I mean, the Bible spells out that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible points out from the time we're born that we're objects of his wrath. But that's for us to understand who we are so that we can come to Jesus. Because the Bible says that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but in order that we might be saved through him. Okay, Jesus came because we were objects of wrath, and he said, I'll take the wrath for you. That's why he died on the cross. And when he rose from the dead in victory, for all of us who have believed in him, he says, I love you with an everlasting love. If I loved you while you were still sinning and still rebellious, how much more now, having a relationship with me, do I love you? Have you ever paused to think about how much God loves you? It's not arrogant to do. It's what all the scriptures scream is that he loves you. He loves you with an unconditional love. David was totally confident in the Lord's love for him, and we need to be as well. We need to believe that God has our best, because if we don't, we'll start believing lies. And when we start believing lies that God doesn't love us and doesn't have our best, we'll start living in fear. Here's some of the lies that I hear all the time from in my own head and in the lives of others. Lies that go something like this: because I don't believe God loves me, you'll never accomplish that. God's not gonna help you do that. You're never gonna get to blank, fill in the blank. Hey, you're never gonna beat that illness. Hey, you know what? Your marriage isn't gonna work. It's gonna end in divorce. Hey, you know what? That kid that's wayward, they're gonna stay wayward. Hey, you know what? You're gonna be poor. Hey, you know what? You're gonna be miserable. Hey, you know what? You're gonna be hated. You know what? I just want you to know you're ugly and you're unwanted. I want you to know your life was a mistake. If you start believing those lies, even for a moment, they will take you down a path that God never intended.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Our Strong God, from the series Summer in the Psalms, helping you recognize who your strong God is so you can receive from the Lord what he has for you. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is bravepastorjeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
See, when God talks about us, the New Testament equivalent of Psalm 27:1 would be Romans 8:31, which would say, if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, sometimes we think it's arrogant to think that God is for us. It's actually very humble. The reason God is for us is because we believe in his son. I want to tell you something. God is 100% for Jeff Schwarzentraub. He holds my future in his hands and he wants my best. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon set up against you will succeed. That's what the Bible teaches. Can I believe that? Yeah, I totally believe that. There's nothing that's gonna stand in the way for my God-given destiny, because God loves me so much that even when evildoers gather to put down what God started in my heart, they can't succeed against my God. I'm totally confident that God is going to fulfill his purpose. The Bible says, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Think about this for a moment. Psalm 139 says, God's thoughts for you outnumber the grains of sand. They outnumber the grains of sand. I mean, think about what you've been doing over the past 24 hours. Let me tell you, one of the many things God's been doing is this. He's been thinking about you. He's been thinking about you. And for those of you who have trusted in him, trusted in his son, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins and his resurrection from the dead, he only thinks about you and he only thinks good thoughts about you and he's in love with you. He can't stop thinking about you. That's why in Ephesians 2:10, it says that God has prepared good works in advance for you that you would walk in them, that God has a destiny for you, that God wants you to walk out. Now think about this. If God's the creator of everything, when God created the world, how did he create? He created something out of nothing and he made it beautiful, so good that his tagline on the end of every day was, that's good. And his tagline on the end of all creation after he created everything was, wow, that's very good. Now think about the scriptures that say this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. When you trust in Jesus Christ, although you look the same on the outside, really what God has done is he has recreated the inside. And he says, it's very good. And I have purpose for you that only you can accomplish. And I place you on the earth in this time to accomplish it. So would you please have confidence in me, God says, that I know what I'm doing and I have best things for you. That's our God. That's what our strong God provides, is confidence. Because if we don't believe in the confidence of the Lord, when circumstances begin to happen, we'll live in fear. When circumstances begin to happen, we'll get upset that maybe God isn't who he says he is. But David doesn't do that. David says, the Lord is my light and salvation. I'm not gonna fear anybody. Lord's got my protection. I'm not gonna be afraid of anybody. This is just who I am. I'm 100% confident in who the Lord made me and that he is going to finish what he began. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Christ. That God promises, and we can have the confidence that what he started in us, he will do. But notice David. David doesn't just hang on to confidence. He wants something else. He wants comfort. Notice how this psalm continues. He says, one thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after. Now, if you're the king and you have confidence in the Lord and the Lord has anointed you and your calling in the world is to be the king of all of God's people and you could ask God for one thing, what would be the one thing that you'd ask God for? David says, here's the one thing I ask for, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. This word inquire means to meditate on or to seek after. The New Testament equivalent would be Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. David says, if I can ask one thing, here's what I want. I want to seek after God. That's what I want more than anything else. That's where I get my comfort. See, it's more than just having this confidence that's out there. I want to tangibly experience the comfort of the Lord in the circumstances that I'm in. Now, when the psalmists write different psalms, sometimes we read them and we put song to them and they sound okay, but we don't really realize what they're saying. Psalm 42 says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after thee. In the same way that a thirsty deer would go after water, my soul longs after you. Psalm 63 verse 1 says it this way, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Has your soul and your flesh ever cried out to the Lord like that? That's what David's prayer is. David is saying, the only level of refreshment I know that I can ever get is to seek you and you alone. Psalm 84 verses 1 and 2 says it this way. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. And he goes on to say this in verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Here's how awesome your presence is to me. He's saying, God, I would rather be the janitor in your company than the CEO, because to be the janitor in your company and to get to spend every day with you would be awesome rather than being a CEO by myself. He's saying, God, I'd rather be the ball boy on your team than be the starting quarterback of my own. God, I just know that one day with you is better than a thousand days I could spend anywhere else. I mean, that's how precious you are to me. And my soul longs for that. And my flesh faints for that. And I thirst for that. God, that's what I want. David found his comfort when he thirsted for the Lord. David found his comfort when he sought the Lord. Isn't it good to know those times where God is big and you are small? Your heart ever thirsted like that? I mean, God gives us little glimpses from time to time, just how awesome he is and how small you are. You know, just the other day, I was riding my bike up on a ridgeline trail and by my house. And when I came over the edge, I happened to be listening to U2 on my earbuds, and I was listening to the song Beautiful Day. And as I came over, as the sun was coming up, I'm looking out and I'm seeing from all the way down from Pikes Peak to Long's Peak. And I'm driving up and I'm like, wow. God, I mean, this is a little part of your creation and you're huge and I'm really, really small and everything I'm thinking about, you've got under your control. And it was so comforting. Isn't it comforting to know that God is big and you're small? This is what David's saying. I want to seek you and I want to inquire of you and I want to go after you and I want to meditate on you, because in life where we get in the most trouble and where we live in the most fear is when we think our problems are bigger than our God. If you're living in fear right now, think about the thing you're fearful of and then realize this, God's bigger than that. He's stronger than that. He's got that, right? That's what David was saying. That's why God, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Better is one day with you than a thousand elsewhere. Lord, I want that. I want that comfort. I want to know that I can be with you and seek you. And one of the greatest gifts that God ever gave to us was prayer. He gave us prayer that we can seek him. And prayer for us is not just, you know, rote routine saying things. We can speak and communicate with the living God and experience his comfort. We're the only religion in the world that can do that. And the reason is we serve the only living God. Jesus Christ is the Lord. He has been and will always be. And we can communicate with him. Can I tell you why some of us don't pray very often? I used to think there was like a formula to it, like, you know, acts. So you pray adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. That's a good way to start. And there's all these different formula, and you can do this and you can do that. But most of us, our approach to God, the reason we have a hard time praying is because we have a wrong focus about how God thinks about us. See, if you're a believer and he loves you and he's got destiny for your life and he wants to see that fulfilled in you and he loves you and he wants to help you with whatever trial you're going to, it's different seeking him than if my view of God is he's ticked off at me. He's mad that I sin the same way I sinned before. It's the 4,000th time I've asked for this sin to be forgiven. He's mad. He's angry. He's disappointed. He's hurt. I mean, who wants to go spend time with a person like that? Do you have some people in your life that are disappointed in you no matter what you do? I mean, do you yearn to spend hours with them every single day? No, we don't even want to spend holidays with them. We want to keep them at bay, right? God is a God who loves you and who has your best. That's why it's not a time thing. Like, hey, spend 5 minutes with the Lord. How much time would you be willing to spend with a person that cares so much about you and has the power to accomplish whatever he wants in and through you and loves you no matter what? And even when you've sinned the worst, is willing to forgive all that. He says, come to me. All of you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. How awesome is that, God? Do you have people like that in your life? I got people like that in my life. You got some people like that in your life you could pour out your whole heart to. You could pour it out with a crummy attitude. You could pour it out with a bad day and they would still say, hey, I love you, I get it. And they'd be encouraging to you. You got some people like that in your life? I got some people like that in my life. This week, I'm going to be in Chicago for a couple days and I knew I was going to be. So I texted a friend and asked if he and his wife could get dinner with my wife and I on Wednesday. And they said, yeah, not only do we get dinner, why don't you come stay at our house? Done. We're there. I marked my calendar. I know Wednesday's a good day because I know every time we get with this family, they always make Kim and I feel so good. And I want to spend more and more time with them. But I can't tell you this something. If I had the choice between spending Wednesday with them and spending with my Savior, I'd pick my Savior, right? Because he knows everything about me. He knows all my ugly. He knows everything I've done. He knows everything I've been. And he's like, Jeff, I still love you. And I haven't changed my calling on your life. I haven't changed anything I want to do. And I got greatness for you. Do you know he feels the same way about you? Do you know God loves you with an unconditional love like that? See, God wants you to feel and experience his comfort. Not only that, one of the things that's comfortable about God is that he protects us. Notice the next verse, verse 5, he says, for he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. God is the one who protects us from our enemies. When we go through things in life where we have quote unquote enemies or people that come against us, God's the one that wants to protect us from all that. You don't need to protect yourself. God can handle it. He's not afraid. And yet from the time that we're young, we end up believing lies that make us fearful. I remember being a little kid and I used to hang out with this girl that was across the street. She was a year older than me. Her name was Jenny. And I remember being like 5 and Jenny'd be 6. And she used to have me do stuff like, hey, your house looks dirty. You should probably, you know, hose it down and clean it off for your mom and dad. And so I would do it, you know, and then get in trouble. And I mean, she would always paint my mind with lies. And I'll never forget. There was one day, I mean, I remember this when I was 5 years old. She told me that the boogeyman was coming to our neighborhood on that very night. I didn't know what the boogeyman was. I still don't know what the boogeyman is. If somebody can define it for me, I just knew the boogeyman was bad and he was coming to get me. And then she went on to tell me, it just so happened that the boogeyman was unable to go through houses made of brick. It just so happened her house was made of brick. My house, on the other hand, was made of wood. And she said, you know, you might want to talk to your parents because the boogeyman can come through wood. And I remember having like a 25 or 30 minute discussion with my dad, pleading in tears, begging him to let me spend the night at Jenny's house because the boogeyman was coming and he needed to understand very clearly that the boogeyman couldn't come through bricks, but he could come through wood and we had a wood house. My dad didn't buy it, right? But I was fearful. And you say, well, Jeff, that was when you were 5. I mean, how stupid is that, right? Okay, think about what you're afraid of. If Jesus were standing here saying, hey, I got this, how silly would it be what you're fearing?
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Our Strong God, from the series Summer in the Psalms, helping you recognize who your strong God is so you can receive from the Lord what he has from you. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit BravePastorJeff.com. That's BravePastorJeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.